Well, as Sam said, this is giving part two. Do I get a cheer as well? You're into giving. This is good news. So if you were here last week, you would have heard Sam preached. It's the time of year when we as a church review our finances and we ask all of you to do the same as we look towards what we're planning for the year ahead. So if you count St. Stephen's as your spiritual home, whether you've been coming for 5 minutes or 5 years, please listen to all that we're going to share this morning. Last week, Sam asked two questions. Why do we give and who do we give to? And he looked at Paul's second letter to the Corinthians and was encouraging us. There were three things there that we are called to give cheerfully. So that's why it's good to cheer. We're called to give generously and we're called to give sacrificially. And today I want to move on a little bit by asking ourselves, how do we give? How should we give? Giving is a key part of discipleship. When we do things like Alpha, we don't talk about giving, we talk about people coming to faith, about experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's really important that people make that step. But giving follows from that. It's a part of our response to God. But it's a much harder part to tackle. For most of us, we can make those internal decisions to follow Jesus. But when it means reaching into our wallets or our bank accounts, it's a little bit harder, isn't it? So we're going to think about that today. But I think giving is really important for two reasons. And the first of those is something spiritual. You see, money is a blessing. We love money, don't we? We do all sorts of exciting things with it, but it also can be a curse. Jesus says in Matthew's gospel, he says, you cannot serve both God and money. In other words, they can't both be a priority in your life. One of them has to be above the other. We all want more things. Wanting is different to needing, and we get confused sometimes. We need food to eat. We need somewhere to sleep. But we want lots of other things, don't we? We want bigger and better. We want new clothes. We want the latest gadgets. We want bigger houses. We want new cars. We want private education or healthcare. Or we just want to provide a safety net. Now, none of those things in themselves are bad. Please don't get me wrong. But they can easily blind us to the priorities that God has. Paul, writing to Timothy, says this: the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Now notice what he says. He doesn't say that money is evil. He says the love of money is a root of evil. It's one of the things that can so easily lead us away from the path of following Jesus. If we're not careful, we can find that we put money before our faith and trust in Jesus. We don't actually believe him to do the things that he says he is going to do. And I think giving helps to counter that. That's why it's a spiritual discipline. Because you see, as we give a bit of what we get coming in, we learn to let go and to let God. So instead of thinking, well, I've got this money and I don't know what to do because I've got all these priorities, when we give to God, we're learning to give him some place of priority in our lives to overcome the selfishness that can so easily overwhelm us on that treadmill for more and better. As Jesus put it, building bigger barns. We sometimes preach on that, don't we? The parable he told, I think Caroline spoke on it a few weeks ago, of building bigger barns where we just build to invest in ourselves. But the second reason why we give is something very practical. And that is that the church, this church, only functions because of what you and I give. We are not funded by government. We're not funded by the local authority. We're not funded by the wider church. We're not funded by external charities or trusts. We are funded by what you and I give. And that enables us to continue to do the work that we believe we are called to do. And every pound that we give really does make a difference. It enables us to do things like employ staff. You know, Joe is here because we give. It enables us to do what we feel we're called to do, which is to support other churches who can't pay their way. So as a church, in a relatively wealthy church, we believe it's right that we pay more to the diocese than we're asked to, because lots of churches in this area can't afford to pay their way. Joe comes from a church that relies on churches like us to give more to help them to survive. We believe it's right to give money to mission. We give 10% of all that we receive to mission, to enable God's work to continue, not just in this parish, but in the area and throughout the world. And all of those things are important. It's all kingdom work. But we also need money to do things to this building, to do the practical things that need doing. If you've walked across the car park recently or across the hall floor, you will know there are urgent repairs. Nobody else is going to pay for that except for us. So there's all of those different things that are priorities we believe are right under God, and we want to continue to do them. So let's delve into this passage from 1 Corinthians 16. When Ben, just before the service, said to me, is that it? Is that all I'm reading? And I said, yeah, that's it. But actually, it contains some really important principles that Paul sets out. In a sense, it's all here in these four verses. Now, this was written really soon after the life of Jesus, probably within 25 years of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And by that time, Paul had been planting churches all around the Mediterranean area. He was probably in prison, he's probably in Ephesus, and he's responding to reports about how Christians in the early church were living their life. And giving was an important part of early church life then, just as much as it is now. And right at the end of 1 Corinthians, in this chapter, Paul talks to them about the collection that all of the churches were being encouraged to take to support the church in Jerusalem. The church in Jerusalem by this time was facing persecution, there was poverty, there was famine. And so churches in other areas where the persecution hadn't broken out were asked to collect so that the money could be taken to help the early Christians in Jerusalem. It's kind of mission. It's what we do, isn't it? We collect money, we give it to others in need. And so it was really important what Paul was doing, and he was encouraging them to continue with this work. Now, we know, because from the second letter to the Corinthians, and Sam preached on this last week, when you look in those verses in the second letter to the Corinthians, it was probably written within a year of the first letter to the Corinthians. And what Paul says there was, last year you were the first to give, now finish the work. So obviously the Christians responded to what he was writing here in 1 Corinthians, because by the time we get to 2 Corinthians, we read, you did it then, do it again. And that's a good message for today. You've done it before, do it again. You see, 2,000 years ago, that advice was written, and it's just as important. So let's have a look at these verses from 1 Corinthians 16. Paul says, now about the collection for the Lord's people, that's the collection they were sending to Jerusalem, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. Each of you should set aside a sum of money. All of you, says Paul, should be involved. He doesn't say, those of you who are wealthy, give, and others not. He doesn't say that those of you who've been Christians for a couple of years, give. Those of you who've just come to faith, not. He doesn't say, if you've got a job, give, and if you haven't, don't. He says, each of you, every member of the church is called to respond in whatever way they can. Why? Because God's love is for everyone. We all receive the same measure of God's grace and love poured into our life. And so therefore we're all called to respond according to our needs, part of the journey of discipleship. And also because that problem that I identified earlier, the spiritual problem of money that can so easily beset us, affects us whether we are rich or poor. We all have to deal with this, just like we've got to deal with all sorts of other stuff in our lives. And so we're all called to give. I love that image of the early church, right at the beginning in Acts chapter 2, where we read that the early believers held everything in common, selling their possessions and giving to those in need. You see, the early church pooled their resources. They brought what they had and then it was distributed. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul talks about the church being like a body. And he says, you know, every part of the body has its own unique function. You know, eyes see, ears hear, legs enable you to walk, arms enable you to lift, and so on and so forth. And if you know, if your part of your body isn't working, if you've got pain or discomfort, or, you know, you haven't got a part of that body, things are more difficult. And Paul applies that to the church and says, you know, we are all different parts of the body. Some of us are eyes and arms and ears and mouths and so on. We all have a different role to play. But when a part of the body isn't functioning, it's not complete. Just like that jigsaw, it's not complete. And I think the same thing applies to our giving. You see, if just some bits of the jigsaw are there, we won't be complete. But when each of us gives according to our needs, all the pieces will be in place. Whether we give a pound or £100, it doesn't matter, because God does the maths with what we've got. What is important is that as we all play our part, the body comes together. God uses the gifts and he does his work with them. So that's the first thing that Paul says here. The second thing he says is that do what I told you on the first day of every week. Sunday is the first day of the week, and so as the Christians met on Resurrection Day, they gave. First day of the week, Sunday, we're meeting, we're called to give. That's why we have an offering. Don't know if any of you have seen this billboard around. I've noticed it because I bank with the Nationwide, so it struck me, and it's a really good principle. On the day you receive your income, save a bit. Nationwide want you to save, don't they? It's a good thing. I commend everyone to save a little bit if you can. And do it on day one. Why do it on day one? Why do it on the first day you get your pay? Because if you leave it to the end of the month, the chances are you won't have as much to save as you do at the beginning. You make that choice on the first day. And I thought, you know, I haven't got the skill to do this. I could have changed that, couldn't I? Payday, give day. Because it's the same principle. And that's what Paul is saying here. Give on the first day of the week. Give as soon as we receive to the thing that we've committed to. Why? Same thing. If we leave it, there won't be as much left at the end. We won't be able to do what we'd set out to do. We all have bills to pay. We all have mortgages and shopping and clothes. And we all want to have an occasional night out and stuff. And that's great. You know, good things, necessary things. But it's about priority. It's about priority. And God calls us to give him the best. In the Old Testament, we read about giving the first fruits. The Jewish people were called to give the first fruits when they entered the land, not the leftovers. This is, you know, there's lots of rotten apples and things around at the moment lying on the ground, aren't there? But the first fruits are juicy and fresh. And God says, give me the first fruits on the first day of the week. Set aside a sum according to your means and give it to me. In our worship, just as we've been doing this morning, we frequently sing about the greatness of God. We give him all the honor. We acclaim his greatness. We say we lay everything before him. It's so easy to vocalize. But when it comes to setting up that standing order or opening our purses and wallets, it's a bit more difficult, isn't it? Caroline and I, ever since we've been a married couple, have had a standing order that we set up on the first day of the month so that we get paid and the money goes straight into the church bank account. I know many of you do that, but if you don't, I want to encourage you to do payday, give day. You see, it puts God first. It means that it's gone and you don't have to think about it or worry about it. Paul's advice is really sound and practical and helps overcome the human obsession with money and the worries that we might have because it's already dealt with. We have given. And then Paul says here, give proportionately. If you read on, he says, on the first day of the week, each of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. In keeping with your income. Here's the good news. We are not all required to give the same. It's great news. But those who have more should give more. Okay? In proportion with your income. The one who has more should give more, but all of us should give in proportion. What does that mean? Well, Paul doesn't tell us. The New Testament doesn't tell us what that means. So there are no laws or rules here, but there are some good principles that we can adopt. The Bible frequently talks about giving a tithe. In the Old Testament, the very first person to give 10% was Abraham. Long before the law was established, he freely gave 10%. And that then became written into the Jewish law. And it became adopted by Christians as a good biblical pattern. Give to the work of the church, and a 10% is a good sum. If you look at this, you know, there's it's a dollar, sorry, it's not a £20 note or something. But, you know, there's the tithe. That little bit at the end, all of that is what we get to keep. God gives it and he says, give me a little bit back. Give me 10% back. Now, if that's too big a step for you, you know, there are no rules. Why not say I'll give 5%? Give 5% and maybe review that in the future. At the end of the day, it's down to you. It's between you and God. But what you need to do, what we all need to do, is to give in proportion to our means. Giving first, giving proportionately enables us to do so cheerfully, generously, and sacrificially. So what does all this mean for us? Well, you know, often when we preach, we kind of ask people to think about something or to apply something in their lives. Today, it's a very practical response that we're asking from everyone. So over just by the door, there is a letter for most of you here. If you're a member of this church, there will be a letter. And if you've been around a few years, you will know how this works because we do it every year. But in this pack, you will find a letter from the church wardens and the treasurer and me, which sets out what our financial situation is and what we need to do next year. Now, the first thing to say is we are not, as a church, in a bad financial situation. Because of your generosity in the last 10 years, our planned giving has increased here. When I first came, it was £59,000 a year. This year, it's projected to be £143,000. That's quite a significant increase, and we praise God for that, and I thank you. Thank you for your own sacrificial giving. But of course, all of those things I said at the beginning about mission, about supporting other churches, about staff, about ministry here, about the buildings, they don't go away, and we need to continue. So next year, we need to increase our giving by about £11,000. £11,000 sounds a lot of money. But if you think in church on a Sunday morning, there's about 150 adults present. If you divide that per person per week, it's about £1.50 per person. Less than a cup of coffee that many of us might buy from a coffee shop and not even think about it. Okay? Now, not everybody can afford to give £1.50 more. Some of you will be new to this church and you might not have started giving yet and you will want to give significantly more. Others might be able to increase their giving by a modest amount. Some might not be able to give any more or not give at all. We understand that. But that's just an indication for you of what it means. It's not actually a huge sum between us. So in your pack, you've got a little pledge card, and we're asking you to prayerfully fill that in. Don't rush. Do it over the next couple of weeks. But ask God, what is he saying to you? What does it mean for you to give on the first day of the week? What does it mean for you to give in proportion to your income? And then shove it back in the envelope. There's a little sticker. Put the sticker on, and there's a box over there for it. And no one will read this except our giving coordinator. So whatever it is you say on there, rest assured that no one else in leadership sees that. It's between you and God and the giving coordinator, who will keep a record of it, because that's what obviously we have to do. If you are already in our giving scheme, sorry, I just need to put the next one up. That's what we want you to do. If you're already in our giving scheme, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for all that you do that enables us to continue with ministry and grow God's kingdom work in this place. If you are not yet in the giving scheme, if you are new to St. Stephen's, or you haven't yet joined, then please do consider joining. We want the whole body to be involved so that each one of us plays our part and we see the fullness of what God wants in this place as we minister here and support his work elsewhere.